This will be short, but sweet. And I didn't realize we would be discussing this till the Holy Spirit this morning asked. So let's go. I love to come under the authority of the Word of God, because it's not my opinion that matters. I know nothing. I just want to know Jesus. And I am not full of my opinion of the Word of God. I just want to hear the heart of Jesus with you together. We search the Scriptures together to see Jesus, to hold His heart. Not to know something, but to love someone. And so that's my heart. And that's what we're doing right now together. 2 Samuel chapter 6. This is a very personal word for me, because God, my Father, brought this word to me personally when He was dealing with my heart. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Yes. Amen. I'm blind, so I just have all the light and glasses so I can see my scribbles on my Bible. But the Lord was personally dealing with my heart. And I will tell you, I went into a field. This is right when God shared with me that the theme of this gathering would be different than what we had planned. And I went into a field, and I was broken, heartbroken, because of my personal approach, the way I was carrying the gathering. And the Lord came to me and broke my heart. Really, He did. And I just couldn't do anything. I couldn't just do the day and the schedule like normal. I had to get with God, you know, when you have that. So I went to a field, and I just said, Lord, you know, I can't go further. I can't. I won't. Nope. I feel Your heart in this, and I can't just do the way I always do and slap Jesus on that and say it's okay. This needs to be what's Your heart. It doesn't need to just be religious or Kelly's. And I cried out, but it's not about my crying out. I was just under the mighty hand of God. You know, that's different. And He brought me to these verses. I mean, as sure as the sun is shining, the Spirit of the Lord opened up this area of Scripture to speak to my heart. And I felt like the Father and the Holy Spirit gave insight into something David went through. I mean, a real crisis that David, like he really, I feel like the Lord took me right into David, and I saw him just really going through this with God. And it was really big to David. It was one of the first things that happened after he was made king, and he blew it bad, and it devastated him, and he didn't understand. So I'd like us to read the Scriptures, and then we're going to look at the Scriptures and see the heart of the Lord therein, starting with verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps, and on psalteries, and on timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God, took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had broken forth in anger against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez something to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, How shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark from the Lord unto him into the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. The Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him, because the ark of God is there. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was that when they who bore the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting, with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, that's another story. We'll stop there. Okay, let's go back to verse 1 and look at the scriptures. So here we have David, verse 1, gathered together with the chosen of Israel, 30,000. So in his, we have two approaches, okay? Two approaches of carrying the ark of God into the house, into the Holy of Holies, into Jerusalem. I feel like the ark of God, because it is the very presence of God, it contains the very presence of God himself. It's like the heart of God. It's God. It's his presence. It's his being. And David is wanting to carry God's heart, God's presence, from Baal Judah into the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem and make it have a home there, right? So he's excited because he loves God and he wants to carry God, God's very presence, his heart, from a place where it's far away to a place where it's deep inside, right there. And he has two approaches. So his first approach is like, get the chosen, the 30,000 noble chosen. Let's find the really spiritual ones, the whole ones, the good ones, right? Let's gather them and let's get a new cart. Let's get some shiny new Philistine, shiny new, it's actually tradition of, but a shiny new cart that's, maybe got not turbo engines, but really strong oxen. Something that can really transport this God in style, And hey, look at this. Let's get all manner of really great. In fact, let's get the best musicians with the best instruments to play some of the most beautiful worship music we could ever orchestrate. Look at what it says. Look what it says. Verse 4. And David, this is the first approach, the first carrying of God's heart. Notice the kind of hands. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood. It's expensive. This is ornate. This is that prize type, you know. Even on harps. Wow, there's harps. They're harping. When you see the ark coming in, you see them on harps, you know, with fir wood. I'm sure there's like, you know, this is like great musicians, all the chosen men. We've got this gorgeous card. It's the presence of God. Look at my golden hands carrying the presence of the Lord. We're strong. We're good musicians. David's like, I've got it down, Lord. I'm ready to glorify your name. Lord's like, But there's a little thing here. Look here. And the Holy Spirit kept, you know how he lands on words when you search the scripture? The dove just kind of goes, oh yeah, right here. You're like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he's like, no, just stay on those five words because there's Jesus' heart there. And he did that with these words in chapter 2, verse 2. It's at the end of verse 2 where it says, let me read the whole verse. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from there the ark, the heart of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who is mighty in battle. Wait, no. Whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who heals all our diseases. No. Whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim's wings. Ooh, there is a clue there in regards to how he wants his heart carried. Who dwells between the wings of the cherubim, not the mighty hands of the mighty warriors of the anointed chosen. So he's giving David a little clue, but David isn't aware yet of God's heart in this area. He just loves God to all. He just doesn't know him. I don't know him. But I want to know him. So he doesn't catch that clue, even though it was right there in the beginning. And he goes and what we just said, gets the cart, the new cart, the chosen men, all these great instruments. And now, so you have to see the progression. We've got this group of great musicians. We've got 30,000 chosen men. We've got a new big oxen carrying it. And he has this guy, Uzzah. I don't know who he is, but he's in front of the whole thing. I've never heard of him having a big heart for God. And he's not going to have much of anything. And a few paces down the road, past the threshing floor, he's about to be nothing. But so, you know, this is big, you know, they're carrying the heart of God, but they are not carrying it with crippled hands. They're carrying it with strength and with, you know, all the things that even you can go to a big church. You can go to me, call me. And sometimes when I'm leading worship and I'm thinking, oh man, it's this beautiful piano I'm playing on, like David's harps and fir instruments, or it's the anointing that's on my voice. You know what I mean? God help me. That's really carrying his heart to the people. Lord, it's just all my great gifts for you. And that I was out in the field and the Father was dealing with me on that. And he said, it's not reaching me. You need to be threshed and shaken. And Uzzah needs to die. His real name is Kelly, you know. And he's like, that isn't reaching me. That isn't reaching me. And you can see where David thought this was the approach God needed. This was the honor. You know, you go, if this worship service is amazing, if the preaching is powerful, if the anointing is strong, maybe God's heart will be carried in the way that will glorify. You know, you can see David wanting to honor the Lord, wanting to glorify him, to give him a special place. But he didn't understand the crippled hands and the crucified heart. He didn't understand the nature of the one that he was carrying. And he didn't understand the way that he wanted to be carried. He didn't want to be carried by something that was so completely different than him. Big oxen, beasts, a big cart. instead of crippled hands holding staves like he asked for in Numbers and Exodus. You know, weakness, a whole bunch of heart, and who cares about the instruments? A whole bunch of shouting, and who cares about the anointing? Just love, right? Well, once they hit the threshing floor, and let's look at that verse. That's going to be verse 6. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, and what an appropriate place for this to happen, the threshing floor. The cart shakes because oxen are, you know, men aren't carrying it with their crippled hands, and in a, you know, they're not carrying it by the staves, which there's so much there in the heart of the Lord. But these oxen, these beasts, are just, you know, on this cart, blah, 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 and they get to the threshing floor, which has uneven surfaces for threshing. You know, it's made, the threshing floor is supposed to be a rocky road to separate the wheat from the chaff, right? And when we get to the rocky road or the threshing floor and our approach isn't in the spirit of the Lamb, isn't with crippled hands, and you know, that broken heart, the things that shake our cart shake all kinds of stuff out of us that does not bring the Lord pleasure. It's our flesh. It's not his beautiful son. And so at the threshing floor, the thing shakes, rattles, and rolls, and Uzzah puts his hand to the ark of God to take hold of it because the oxen are shaking it, and he's touching the Lord with a hand that is not supposed to touch the Lord's heart. This is not a crippled hand. This is not the crucified hand that the wife of the Lamb would have. This is Uzzah, and God kills him. And God's angry. And David just goes, oh my gosh. I mean, I don't know if it just said in David was displeased because the Lord broke forth in anger. And David was afraid of the Lord that day. And he said, how shall the ark come to me? And he just, for 3 months, just went in hiding. So I'm concluding that David freaked out. He just freaked out, like, I did everything I knew. And you killed the guy I asked to lead the procession. And how am I supposed to do this? And I'm afraid of you and maybe confused. And I don't know. And he goes for 3 months. And I think in those 3 months, he was broken before the Lord. He was just like, Lord, there is something about you that I do not understand. Something about how to hold you. Something about how to hold you. And all the people, I'm not representing you properly, and they're dying. And I need to know you. And it doesn't say it in these verses, but it shows it in the second approach that David must have gotten this in the Word of God. And he must have sought the heart of God. He must have cried out and sought his face and know what David's heart would do and said, Lord, I got to know. Because so much changed the way he brought the ark the second time. So much changed. Well, how wonderful if that could be my story. So much change in the way that I, Kelly, carry the heart of Jesus. I don't want to read about David's experience without it making my life different. I want to carry the heart of the Lord in the way that he needs me to. And if I can get that from these verses, then thank you, Father, for your son's sake and for Jesus to be carried properly by his bride. Isn't it wonderful that he's sharing his heart with us like this? Well, wonderful, wonderful he is. Thank you so much, Father. I don't deserve that, right? After mishandling you, and yet you come. And you open your heart and crippled hands and things we wouldn't think of to bring us in to what your son needs. It's so beautiful to me. So I love this next approach. So it's kind of cool because I think David got a little jealous. Because he is really in love with the Lord. He loves the Lord. He wants to be with the Lord. He needs to be. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, to be with you. And you go, hey, Obed-Edom's having a great time down there. And where are you, buddy? In Gittite. The Gittites are having a great time because the Lord is there. David's like, the Lord belongs in Jerusalem, belongs with me. I mean, you know. I want the Lord to be in my heart. I want him. I'm glad Obed-Edom's blessed, but God called me to bear his heart. I know this. And I'm going to find him, and I'm getting after it. He didn't let his confusion or his failure push him away from getting the heart of this so he could have the Lord. He let it break his heart and push him into the scriptures to find the Lord's desire. And it changed his approach. It did. It changed. And that's what it's doing in my life. I want it to. Please pray for me. But I feel it's all of us as one. We have this heart as one. And it's beautiful to pursue him like this together. So I believe he got in the scriptures. And I believe he saw the Lord's, like what Randy shared this morning about how in brokenness and crippledness, we can carry that crucified lamb's heart the right way and carry it all the way into Jerusalem, all the way into the deepest, innermost chambers of our heart where his heart can beat in us and be safe and not be abused with oxen, beast attitudes, with ways of the world that are mingled with the flesh that are so odious and foreign to his nature, his lamb nature. Our anointings that can even be from God, our giftings, mine, the things that we call beautiful and ornate and wise and high and holy that he calls not my image, not my spirit. Get rid of the harp and the fir, wood, flute that just makes you sound good, but forget about my spirit of lowliness, my nature. You know what I mean? I'm not against great worship. I'm against a spirit that exalts itself instead of gets low and pours over him. So I think David got it. And now let's look at the new approach. So he gets jealous. He goes to Obed-Edom. And he says, I'm ready to get my Jesus back. I'm ready. I want him. I need him. I can't live without him. I'm coming for you, Lord. I'm coming, but in the right way, in the right way. Amen. So verse 12. So David, this is verse 12. Yes, halfway through. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness, with gladness. Amen. With gladness. Not with, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm such a failure. Amen. With gladness. Woo! Verse 13. Amen. And it was that when they who bore the ark, now it's they who bore the ark, not oxen and a new cart. I'm assuming we have human beings with hands holding the staves of the Holy of Holies and carrying it with the right kind of hands, not beasts. Crippled hands. Amen. And to emphasize the point of crippled hands, David, let's just read it, verse 13. And as it was that when they who bore the ark of the Lord had gone six steps, David sacrificed oxen. He sacrificed oxen, didn't use them, and fatlings. Every six steps, they made sure they were broken and crucified and low and poured out, and with the lamb and offering and spirit of sacrifice. You see, he said, let's not go beyond six steps. Let's not have a new beginning until we know our spirit is one with Christ crucified and poured out in low in offering. Let's not let that spirit overtake us at any. Let's not let another way or spirit overtake us any way along the journey. Every six steps, we need to offer oxen and fatlings to make sure our hands are crippled, our hearts are broken, and the lamb that was slain is pouring out of us because we're carrying God's heart to his house. Amen. And I just said, Lord, every six steps, maybe every three, maybe every two, maybe every one, I need to be offering oxen and fatling. I need to, in the truth, be making sure my heart is carrying the spirit of Christ crucified in its approach. But let's continue. Verse 14. And now we don't have a grand chorus of ornate instruments doing a glorious musical fest. We have David dancing before the Lord with all his might. It never said all his might in the first approach. Verse 5, it said David and all the house of the Lord played before the Lord on all manner of instruments. There was no dancing. There was no with all their might. It was just before the Lord on instruments. David's like, not this time. This time, I'm doing it with all my might. Forget the instruments. Give me the ephod. He's like, you know, all those great instruments we had, just give me the ephod of a priest and let me dance before him with all my might. Shout with your voice. Offer the fatlings and the oxen. We're loving him into Jerusalem. We're going to be lowly at his feet. We're going to be poured out in his spirit. And we're going to love him with all our heart, soul, and strength all the way to Jerusalem. Isn't it beautiful? His approach changed. His approach changed. And God waited until his approach changed to bring his son all the way in.
I think he would be wearing a crown of the previous one. Yeah, the king.
Yeah. I do. I think God changed his, waited until his approach was different before he would let him bring him all the way in.
Yeah. His name means strength.
And glory oxen, to God.
And oxen are strength, you know, as opposed to weakness.
Yeah. That's really good.
He slew the strength.
Yeah. Yes, they didn't want to be named. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you before. That's what you were saying. That's good. I couldn't hear her before. She said the names of the men who carried the ark in the second approach, they didn't even want their names. He's everything. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. A whole different spirit. They're lowly, they're broken, they're crippled, they're not the one. But a heart. Isn't it funny that though David was broken and offering up fatlings, he wasn't like this, I'm so low, I have no joy, I can't dance. I mean, he was broken with crippled hands, pouring over the Lord in the right spirit, but he was dancing like a priest with all his might. You know, sometimes we can have a fakey kind of religious lowliness. That God's like, where's my bride here? Where is the one pouring over me? You can be low and broken and crucified and loving me with all your heart and pouring over me like a priest with all your might. And amen. People probably looked at David. His own wife looked at him, Michael, and said, I am ashamed of you for doing it like that. Your approach is humiliating. Your approach is wrong. Sacrilegious, too much. What are you doing? He's like, I didn't do it for, I danced before my God. And I did it with all my heart for him. This is memorial ministry to the bone, baby. I'm doing it for the Lord. You know, I don't care what anybody thinks. I care what he thinks with all my heart, mind, and soul. I'm bringing him home. I'm bringing him home. You know, so there's just a heart there. It was in David, but his approach wasn't there. And the Father was faithful to gather him in, like he's gathering us in, to the right approach. Because Jesus wants his heart all the way to be held and to be brought in to our hearts, to our innermost places. And so finally, verse 15. So David and all the house of Israel brought, you know, it's together, all of them, brought up the heart of the Lord with shouting, and with the sound of the trumpet, hallelujah. That's it. That's what he spoke to me personally in regards to how I want to gain the Spirit of the Lord in my approach